I'd like you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Exodus chapter 2, please. Book of Exodus chapter 2. Verses 1 through 10. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Honoring mothers is not new. Many references in the Bible of people who honored their mothers. I think of Solomon when he became king of Israel. His mother came to visit him, and he gave her a special place in the palace at his right hand. And actually, Mother's Day sermons are some of the most difficult and challenging sermons that a pastor will give. And I'll tell you why in a little bit, but it's not an easy sermon. This is Mother's Day message. I was looking for illustrations, came across this, and I thought it would be a good introduction to the message. But preachers are often reminded not to get too sentimental about motherhood at times, because for some, motherhood was unexpected, not always welcome. For some, physical reasons, motherhood is not possible. For some, mothers weren't that nice. For some, motherhood brought many difficulties and heartaches. For some, motherhood was a failure. And for children, some didn't have loving mothers. Some did not even know their mothers. Some lost their mothers because of a tragedy. And there can be negative sides to motherhood for sure. A poet, Wilhelm Busch, said, "To become a mother is not so difficult. On the other hand, being a mother is very much so." So with all the negatives, someone might say, "Well, why bother at all with Mother's Day?" Well, you know, with all the stumbling blocks, the pitfalls and heartaches and failures, after all, we're talking about God's beautiful plan, the natural part of God's order, and to bring love and caring and light into the world. And that's what mothers do. And yes, because we are sinners and we do fail, motherhood as God planned is a very wonderful thing when you think about it. And we should honor it. We should lift it up as a constant reminder of the gift of love and of caring. And we should work to teach the very highest ideals of motherhood by example and word to our children. If I asked you a question this morning, who was the greatest influence on your life? Was it a teacher, maybe a professor that greatly influenced you? Maybe you'd say a friend, or maybe your husband or wife. As much as I hate polls, there was a poll taken, and this question was asked of 4,000 adults, and people were allowed to give any of those responses. The results were very revealing. According to this poll, the person with the greatest influence was their mother. 42% of men, of all the choices they could say, they said their mother. 53% of women said that mother was the most influential person in their life. That's according to USA Today poll. On this Mother's Day, of course, we pause to honor moms and reflect on the great contribution that they made to our lives. And I was reading this illustration. It was a school teacher who gave her class of second graders a lesson on a magnet. Remember those days? And what a magnet does. And the next day, in a written test, on the test was included a question. "My name has six letters. The first one is M, and I pick up things. What am I?" When the tests were turned in, over half of the students put the word mother. And the teacher didn't have the heart to mark it wrong, so they all got it right. The cartoon character Dennis the Menace told his friend Joey, "I don't know what I'll do when my mom gets too old to tie my shoes." There's another humorous story about a mom who had three notorious unruly children. She was asked whether or not, if she had it to do over again, would she have children? She says, "Yes." And with a smile, she added, "Certainly I would, but not the same ones." So this morning we look at a mother in the Bible that had great faith in Exodus chapter 2. We're going to consider the mother of Moses. She was a mother who trusted the Lord in a very difficult situation. And she's a great example of a wonderful mother, and more importantly, a woman a mother that trusted in God. And I'd like you to look at chapter 2, please. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." And let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we can open the Word of God. Help us this morning, Lord, to look into the faith of Moses' mother and to hold it up as a great example, Lord, of a mom who trusted in you during difficult times. And we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, this is a great example of a wonderful mom. More importantly, because she trusted in the Lord. The 12 tribes of Israel had moved to Egypt because of a terrible drought in that part of the world. Remember the story of Joseph, how that he was sold into slavery by his jealous brothers. And Joseph was always telling his brothers about the dreams and visions he had from God, and they sold him. And over the years, Joseph prospered because God empowered him, and he interpreted the Pharaoh's dream, which meant there'd be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine because of a coming drought. And we know the story that Pharaoh promoted Joseph to be the prime minister of the nation, and he saw that his people were treated well. God used Joseph to save the 12 tribes of Israel and a future nation of Israel. But when Joseph died, in Exodus chapter 1, the Bible says there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And now Egypt's policy towards the Israelites had changed. They were guests in the land, and now they are slaves. And God prospered the Israelites in this land of Goshen by the Nile River, and the Jewish people increased in number until Pharaoh considered them to be a threat. And that brings us into the situation of Exodus chapter 2. And he orders all the Hebrew midwives to kill all the newborn baby boys to control their population. What a terrible thing to do, to kill all the baby boys as soon as they were born. And that was a terrible decree to be given out in the land. But isn't it just as bad today in America that we do the same thing for the same reason through abortion? Population control, our government, and our courts have legalized the killing of unborn children by abortion, when yet there are many parents that are willing to adopt children. It's a terrible thing. But however, the Jewish midwives feared God, which means they believed in God and they obeyed him. And they refused to murder their infant children when Pharaoh declared it. And Pharaoh saw that his orders were not being carried out, and so he made a new order to the Jewish parents to throw their boys in the river, in the Nile River. What a test of faith. Imagine a law coming from the government to do that to your little boy. These events, of course, set the stage for this unusual circumstance that places Moses in a boat made of bulrushes by his mom. And we look at the faith of Moses' mother from her viewpoint. Imagine what she must have been thinking when she placed that boy in that little boat made with her hands, and how she must have prayed as she sent that little boat out on the river, praying that God would spare her son. We're going to look at her faith in the past and the present. And notice chapter 2 and verse 1, it came to pass in those days when, I'm sorry, verse number 1, a man of the house of Levi took a wife of the daughter of Levi. Moses' father, according to the Bible, was named Amram, and his mother's name was Jochebed, we learned in the book of Numbers. We know the tribe of Levi was the tribe which Israel received its priests, and the Levites were from that tribe. They were the leaders, the religious leaders of Israel. Moses' mother was a woman of faith. She was raised in a home that honored God. She was instructed from a child in the ways of God and raised to love and to honor God. And that's what moms should do, amen? We can't overestimate the importance of faithful parents. I'd like to read to you a verse from Ephesians. And the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians about parents. Ephesians, and you could just listen, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Amen. Instructs our fathers to raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That verse says that dads are not to provoke their children to anger or to wrath. That means by giving them unreasonable things to do. We have to always remember that children are children. Amen. You ever hear a parent say, "You're acting like a child"? It is a child. Or by using severe punishment, or by correcting them in anger. The parent that shows anger to their child will in effect, teach them that anger is normal. And that will cause them to express anger. The Bible says to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. To nurture means training and teaching children about God by example and by instruction. The word also means to instruct with discipline and correction and chastening. It's impossible to train children without correcting them and administering discipline from time to time. But it doesn't mean to abuse them. But the discipline is very vital, and it's important in teaching children right from wrong. The word admonition means to draw attention to something through mild rebuke or warning. Like, wait till your father comes home. That's a mild rebuke that usually gets the job done in some homes. But who are parents, consider the great influence that you have on your children. You are their example in how you live your life and react to life's problems. Sets the same pattern in their lives. In verse number 2 of chapter 2 of Exodus, and the woman conceived and bare a son. Jochebed knew of the order of the Pharaoh. They called for the death of her son. She saw that he was a goodly child, the Bible says, and strong and healthy. Can you imagine how she felt, knowing that her boy, according to the Pharaoh's rule and decree, would have to be put to death? Far too many American mothers, the reverse is true today. I thank God there are still many in America, many moms who wouldn't think of murdering their unborn child by abortion. Thank God there are many multitudes of moms that believe it is a blessing from God. I thank God there are still some doctors and nurses who refuse to be a part of this spot on the morals of our nation. Maybe soon, prayerfully, the decision of the humanists and ungodly will be overturned. But the liberals of our society, ungodly as they are, bankrupt of moral decency, they will fight to the bitter end to continue this agenda, that's for sure. And in verse number 3 of Exodus chapter 2, and when she could not no longer hide him, the baby grew and became more and more difficult to conceal. Can you imagine them trying to keep that baby quiet? as he gets hungry and as he gets cranky and as he wants to be changed and as he wants something. It's embarrassing for a mother when she's trying to keep a baby quiet and the baby doesn't want to cooperate. Amen, ladies? You can try shh. You can try singing. You can try talking. But sometimes a baby just wants to cry. And it's natural for a baby to cry. It's sad, some of the stories we hear about today of the fate of some children that simply cry. Well, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, the Bible says, and Jochebed had one chance to save her child's life. If she kept the baby, it would be discovered and killed. So she made this plan to hide him in this little boat that she built out of the bulrushes. The bulrushes were the stalks of the papyrus plant that grew in abundance at that time on the Nile River. And she puts the child there and lays it in the flags. The Bible doesn't tell us, but we get the impression from reading the passage that she hid the baby among the tall grass by the riverbank, hoping that someone would find her son. And certainly, she prayed to God for help and for some way to save her son. And we know that God answered her prayers, as we read in verses 4 through 9. And the sister stood afar off to wit that what would become of him. And the child is spared. The child is saved. Not only does she end up raising him, but she is paid a salary for raising him. Now there's a real answer to prayer. God save my child. God saves the child. And God allows her to be hired to take care of the child. So God really did honor her faith. She was able to continue nursing him and giving him a mother's love and instruction, all at the expense of the government. She was able to continue daily contact with him. And it takes more to make a mother than just birth. Amen? And so she had daily contact with him. A mother should be one who we can depend on to always want what's best for us. Jochebed was his mother by birth. But more importantly, she was his mother because she poured her life into Moses. And that's what a mom's supposed to do. Amen? Pour your life into your children. A real mother is one who listens to our hurts and feels the pain with us. She knows how to make us feel better. Moms have a way of doing that. Mother's a person we can always count on when everyone else has turned against us. I remember my mother came to my aid one particular day. I was having trouble with a class bully. I made a remark that I wish I never made. Two words, make me. And this class bully decided that he was going to make me after school. And I fretted from 9:30 in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And when I went home for lunch, my countenance was fallen. I couldn't eat. And my mother didn't have to say a lot to get the truth out of me. I told her the whole story. And I thought maybe she'd let me stay home and hope for a better day. But she sent me on my way and said, don't worry about it. Well, she never said that to me. And I never had a crisis like that before, but I still was worrying about it. Went back to school, and all afternoon I looked behind me, and the class bully just kept going like this. I said, don't worry about it. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to get killed. 3 o'clock, I did something I never did in my whole life up to that point. I asked for extra credit after school, said I needed help with my math. The teacher sent me up to the blackboard, and after a few minutes, she realized that I was just wasting her time. And she said, Stephen, go on home. So I go on home. Halls are quiet. Nobody in sight. I'm making my escape. Down the hallway I go. Nobody's around. Out to the front door, look outside, nobody's around. I start walking across the playground. Here they are, around the corner. Him and everybody, it seemed like the whole class was there. And there was going to be a big brawl. And I was going to be the object of their attention. Now I'm thinking of the words of my mother, don't worry. Around about that time, I see a figure in the distance. Yes, it was super mom. Pushing a baby carriage, coming to my rescue. And she came right in the middle of that playground and began to scold that bully. Boy, did I feel good. She was telling him, why can't you get along? You guys play all the time. Shame on you. You should know better. And to get along. He says, all right, we'll get along. And you know what? From that moment, everything was fine. And I even got to walk home with the class bully and all the kids in class, and we got along fine. I'll never forget that day. That was a great day. But you know, throughout God's Word, it's clear that women who function in the role of mother have a special place in the heart of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 10, I'd just like to read this verse to you. Well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. In this scripture, Paul was giving instructions to the church about how to decide which of the widows that they should direct their ministry towards. And he said that they should be women of good works and who have brought up children. He didn't say they had to be mothers, though, but if they had brought up children. So the Bible makes it clear that there's a special place in God's work for women who are willing to stand in the gap and take on a special role of a mother, whether it's for a few hours or a few days or over a period of years. You think, I'm thinking of the godly women that every week prepare Sunday school lessons for children. And they stand before other mothers' children and teach them God's Word. Far too often, the training of a child that they receive in Sunday school by a teacher is the only biblical training that they get, because many do not get it at home. Mothers face many heartaches in life. One is that she will have to let go of that child one day. It's true. Few will be asked by God to let go of their children as early as Moses' mother, but every mother will eventually have to let go. We think about mothers this morning whose sons are serving their country around the world in hostile areas, and we thank God for their sons and daughters today that are away, keeping us safe. Mother's faith will be strengthened when she has to release her hold on her children, because then all she can do is pray for them and pray that God will guide them and protect them. Sometimes you think, well, I'll be glad when they leave the house. Only to find out that when they leave the house, you still are burdened about them and you still pray for them. Proverbs says, train up a child in the ways that go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. We can have the confidence we send into our children, into the world, prepared to face life's trials. We do our very best for them, and we got to let them go. In protecting her son and raising him, mothers have to rely on the Lord, and by trusting him in faith, seek God's guidance and strength to be the mother that the child needs. Every parent should ask themselves a great question this morning. Are you willing to follow God in rearing your children, and then have the faith to trust them to the care and the keeping of God? After we've done all that we can, then we need the faith to say, God, they're in your hands, and I know that you can take care of them. I'm going to trust you. Well, I'm going to keep praying for them, but I'm not going to worry. I'm going to trust you. Well, the result of her faith in verses 9 and 10 we read, as a result of the faith of Moses' mother, of her trusting in the Lord, she had the joy of watching him grow within the special circumstances that God planned for his life. Every mother who places her faith in the Lord will not be able to watch her children grow up in the house of a king, perhaps. But every mom can know that God's plan is best for them. Amen? Every mother can trust the same God that Moses' mother trusted, and she can realize that God's will for her child is as important as God's will for Moses. Yes, she trusted the Lord and she was faithful, and God used her faithfulness. Most of the time she couldn't see the fruit of her prayers and her trust in God. And sometimes circumstances make it hard to see the future. And we at times get weary in well-doing. We all do. But if we're trusting the Lord, we know that we have God's presence and His will be done. She kept the faith, and she did whatever she had to do. And God used her because she was faithful. She had the privilege of seeing her son blessed in a very special way. He was blessed with material wealth. He had the best education in the world. And she saw her son get advantages that she could not provide. She really didn't know all that was in store for her when she laid that child in that boat, but that was the very thing that she needed to do. Yet she saw him also expelled from Egypt. She knew heartache. As Moses killed an Egyptian and defended a Hebrew, she saw that he was exiled. And I'm sure it was a very hard time for her. And yet God was still working in spite of the exile. Sometimes God uses the storm in our children's lives to clear the air and to redirect and to make us even more reliant on the Lord. Another reward of her faith was to see her son grow in the same kind of faith that she had. That's always a blessing when we see our children follow the Lord. She could not have known that later he would become the leader that led the Israelites out of slavery. We know faith is not inherited. But each of us must come to the Lord in faith and receive salvation individually. If children are raised in a home where prayers are said and the Bible is read, most likely they will live the same kind of life that they have seen modeled before them. I really believe that, if we do our job. If children are raised in a home where God is only a name to be taken in vain, they will most likely follow the example that was before them. How important is the example that we set for our children? A child raised in an environment of profanity will most likely speak the same way. The teacher wrote a note home and said, Johnny said some terrible words. And Johnny's dad approached Johnny and said, "What kind of blankety blank words did you use in school?" No doubt. Many times children of alcoholics often become alcoholics. Children raised in a home that has no place for God will likely have no place for Him when they are grown. I've been told a number of times by well-meaning parents that they don't want to influence their children when it comes to religion. But yet they'll make them go to the doctor, they'll make them go to the dentist, they'll make them go to school. They want them to make up their own minds about spiritual things. But what they fail to realize is that they are influencing them by not living for the Lord in front of them. Their responsibility is to teach them about their loving God and Creator. Think what you would want to let the world. Would you want to let the world that's failing in every way teach your children? If we don't teach them, who will teach them? It's not the responsibility even of the church to teach the children. The church, by Sunday school and youth programs, are to support the parents in raising their children. But many children that go to Sunday school, when they grow up, do not serve the Lord often because the example was not set in the home. And that's sad when we lose our children after they grow up in Sunday school. Society doesn't have any reservations about influencing our children. They learn humanism, they learn materialism from our society. They even hear various teachings of Eastern religions and reincarnation and all the rest. They're exposed to, even by the entertainment world. And they get the idea that maybe it's all right to believe in these things. In our public schools, children are not allowed to learn the Bible and of who God is. But they can be taught every other kind of false religion with the government's blessing. A recent school newsletter was even published by an elementary school and had a column on astrology. And yet they reprimand a little girl for bringing her Bible into school. High schools and colleges are teaching courses on Islam and many Oriental religions. And of course, television is a powerful influence today. Have you looked at some of the children's programs on TV? Almost without exception, they're filled with themes around demons and killing and supernatural power and evil of every kind. But televisions have a little knob on it or a button. Amen. You can turn it off. And as parents, we have the responsibility to discourage those kind of influences and teach our children the things that are wrong. TV is not meant to be a babysitter for our children because it is telling them wrong things if left to themselves. If we as parents don't teach our children the values of faith in the Lord, who's going to do it? We don't teach them the importance of finding and following God's will in their lives. Who's going to do it? The truth is that if we don't teach them what is right, we leave the door open for others to teach them what is wrong. Amen. We have a great responsibility as parents and as grandparents. The job never ends, does it? But we do want to honor moms today, and we thank God for it. You got a tremendous task, a really tough job, and you need all the support and prayers of everyone. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your great love for us. We thank you for our moms. We thank you, Lord, for some of us, the memory of our moms. Our moms have gone. We ask you, Lord, to have your will this morning in a very special way. We would not close the invitation this morning without asking a question. If there's anyone in our service that has never truly received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today would be a great day to do it. The Bible says, today is the day. Behold, now is the accepted time. And you could invite the Lord Jesus to come into your heart today. Father, I ask that your will would be done the very special way we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand, please.